Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. On each program, I interview experts on what it takes to live longer, healthier, and happier. Today, we're going to focus on how you don't have to be the victim of your genetic destiny. We think that our parents shuffled the deck and gave us a sperm and an egg, and we're stuck with whatever genes came with that. Today's guest, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, says our bodies are constantly interacting with our external environment and what's going on internally in our bodies, and that's turning on genes and turning off genes all the time. Dr. Giampapa is a renowned plastic surgeon, one of the 6 founding members of the 20,000-member American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and the first president of the American Board of Anti-Aging Medicine. That's the organization that credentials anti-aging physicians. Dr. Giampapa, when I read your newest book, The Gene Makeover, it was a roller coaster ride. First, I read about caloric restriction. I said, oh, no, only the anorexics and obsessive compulsives are going to eat 20-25% less than a usual healthy diet. But then when I got to the part where you said what you're talking about mimics caloric restriction without the Spartan diet, I said, okay. And then we got into exciting things about how beliefs and environment change the genes, turn them on and off. And then finally we got into supplements, and I said, that's a lot of supplements. Well, roller coaster rides are fun. Thank you for the roller coaster ride. And Dr. Giampapa, welcome.
My pleasure, and I'm looking forward to getting into some of these interesting topics.
How did you get from being a traditionally trained plastic surgeon to being one of the leaders in anti-aging medicine?
I think it all stems back to my childhood background as an artist, looking at faces and drawing faces and being fascinated by the changes portrayed by some of the great masters like Da Vinci and Michelangelo when they drew aging faces, an old face and a young face together. And that fascinated me because what really created the image of old age was changes in certain aspects of the body and the body tissues. And as a plastic surgeon, particularly working mainly on cosmetic improvements of people's faces and bodies, I began to look at what changes occur with the aging process. And although we're trained in a myriad of techniques to make someone look younger surgically, what we're really doing is working on the external effects or the outside of the shell, the external effects of the aging process, and we really weren't looking at the causes of aging. So about 15 to 16 years ago, my whole focus changed on not just working on the outside, but looking at what could we do to improve the process of aging, that is, slow it down, make it more efficient, and maybe not do as much surgery.
So the art initially got you interested in plastic surgery, but then looking at art and aging got you wanting to take it to a deeper level, literally.
Exactly.
How did you get from there to genetics?
My background in college was in molecular biology, and at that time there was no major in genetics. Molecular biology focused on the changes that occurred in the cells as we got older. The last 15 to 18 years is where more and more focus and more information became available on what happens at the genetic level as we age. So genetics became a necessary part of my education, which was accomplished on my own, and I proceeded to look at not only what happened at the gene level, but what happened at the cellular level in response to those changes in genes.
Traditionally, anti-aging medicine is focused on skin, exercise, nutrition, hormones, supplements. Was this quite a jump to get from traditional anti-aging medicine to genetics?
What it really was, a deeper look at the process of aging. And although when myself, Dr. Klatz, Dr. Goldman, and a number of other physicians formed the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, we were originally just looking at the scientifically proven concepts or lifestyle changes that could improve how you age or the quality of your health. Those included diet, exercise, hormonal replacement. That was the surface level of information at the time. And what we found out over the last decade is that all of those things are directly influenced, originate at the level of your genes. And we didn't know at that time that we could really impact how our genes worked, which ones are turned on or which ones are turned off. Now we know that by, for instance, changing our exercise habits, we not only can change 5 or 6 hormonal levels in our body, but we actually influence genes and turn certain genes on and other genes off based upon lifestyle habits. And there's been a number of recent studies, and one in particular where men with prostate cancer, for instance, had their lifestyle changes altered, their exercise, their diet. Mm-hmm. And just by changing their exercise, diet, and their lifestyle, they were able to turn off dozens of genes and turn on and of other genes. So this has become a major, major paradigm shift in thinking about our activities, our mind state actually influences most the deepest level of what makes us what we are. That is our genes, our DNA.
The men with prostate cancer, how do we know that it wasn't the change in exercise and diet that caused their improvement in health? Parsimoniously, why do we jump to genes? How do we know that the genes are really turned on or off?
With the new scientific techniques that we now have, we can do gene chip analysis. That is, take a look prior to changing lifestyle habits, particularly in this study, see what genes are active and what genes are not active. And that's done by either looking at a little blood sample or some tissue sample. We also know what specific groups of genes are related to, for instance, heart health, body composition, inflammation, blood sugar control. And by knowing now, today, with the level of information we have, which groups of genes control specific disease-related processes, we then can take a look at, for instance, the gene expression patterns after we've changed someone's lifestyle habits and actually see the genes that are, for instance, responsible for heart health or cholesterol or blood sugar levels. We could see that those genes now are turned on or off in a fashion that markedly improves our long-term health.
So now we know how to measure the changes in genes. We know lifestyle things that can change the genes, but we're just beginning to get technology that could go in and alter the genes directly. So we need to rely on lifestyle.
We're at the point now where I like to refer this as bridging technology. In fact, I put in the beginning of my book, The Gene Makeover, a comment, and that comment is that we humans who are alive today, 2008, are probably the luckiest group of humans that lived yet, because
right.
We happen to be alive in a period of history where if we utilize the information we have right now, just now, that is, the fact that diet, lifestyle, supplements, medications can improve our gene expression and our health in the long run, we will buy us enough time to actually be here when the next level of technology arrives. That'll be within the next 10 years, where we can actually not only take a sample of our genes and know which ones are efficient, not efficient, and then actually go in there and alter those genes so they work more efficiently, clone the cells or expand them, and give them back to ourselves and actually change our gene expression pattern. So we have become, if you will, bio-enhanced.
I agree. This is such an exciting time to be alive, and it actually gets better every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
To show how dramatic this is, in your book, The Gene Makeover, you talk about a case study with identical twins who found themselves. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, this was an interesting study with identical twins. And by the way, there are a number of studies on identical twins and aging. And this study in particular that I mentioned in the book, or this little case history, it's more a case history than a study, so well illustrates what is now known to be a scientific fact. There were two brothers, identical twins, who were separated very soon after birth. They were both adopted. One was adopted and lived in a farm community out in Idaho, and another one was adopted by another family and brought to New York City and lived in downtown Manhattan. They both grew up in these extremely different environments, both in lifestyle, mind thought processes, and stress levels, and the concept of what's a successful life or what's not a successful life. And what was interesting was these young gentlemen grew up, had their families, and one was a businessman in New York and one was a farmer out in Idaho. And in their early 50s, late 40s, early 50s, the New York City businessman had his picture taken and it was published in this newspaper magazine. And the gentleman out in Idaho happened to see the picture of what he thought was somebody who looked exactly like him. Now, the picture that was shown was really a picture of the gentleman in New York City when he was in his mid-30s. The gentleman had used the picture when he looked a lot better and a lot younger for this particular magazine article. So the gentleman in Idaho said, gosh, that looks so much like me, and he happened to contact the businessman in New York City. Make a long story short, they exchanged information. They had so many things in common in general interest levels that the Idaho gentleman set up a meeting for lunch. When they met, they realized and they exchanged stories about their youth that they were actually the twins that had been separated. But the amazing, amazing thing that occurred was what they both saw when they met. The gentleman from Idaho, who had grown up on organic food, a low-stress lifestyle, a religious background, and a real family culture, looked at least 15 to 20 years younger than the guy from New York City. He was also healthier, didn't have any heart disease, and was a much more balanced, if you will, personality type.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman in New York City exhibited all the effects of a stressful environment, a very fast-paced lifestyle, a poor diet, and someone who is much more self-absorbed than the other gentleman. And what they realized was that although they were genetically identical, the environments themselves had played such a tremendous part in what the level of their health was, what their life goals were, what their basic belief systems were, that they realized that even though they were identical, it was really how they grew up and where they lived that made the difference in the quality of their health and how rapidly they were aging.
So their different lifestyles made a difference of 20 or more years in how they aged.
Exactly. Now, this was such an important concept to grasp because it used to be thought that our genes dictated our future health and longevity. And our parents were brought up with the fact, quotes fact, and we'll put that in quotes, is that what you're born with is pretty much what you're going to have to live with. My grandparents had diabetes and heart disease. Well, you're just going to get it, and you'll learn to live with it, and that's your deck of cards, your genetic deck of cards. We now know that you do not inherit genetic certainty. You inherit genetic potential. So what really dictates the degree of health you have, what dictates your longevity, is a combination of your genes in the right environment. What I've done in my book, The Gene Makeover, and what we've created in a company called Suracell, that's S-U-R-A-C-E-L-L, is the ability to look at your genetic deck of cards right now. And it doesn't matter when you look at them. If you look at them when you're in your early teens or 20s, or look at them now, at least you receive the information that will tell you, if I really alter my lifestyle in certain specific areas, I can impact my cardiac health. I can impact how my body looks, or how much fat I gain, or therefore improve my chances of not getting arthritis or heart disease or Alzheimer's disease. I can shift that percentage towards my favor to have a longer, healthier life.
So you're having people take a swab from their cheek and mail that to you, and you're analyzing that along with a lot of lifestyle factors and giving them a profile of what lifestyle changes would have the most impact.
That's exactly correct. Now, the program I designed for Suracell does exactly that. The important and amazing process of this could all be done at home. So through a small little swab on the inside of the cheek and through a small urine test, which you can do at home too. Now, the urine test gives us a snapshot on how you're aging at this point in time. And that little urine test lets us look at your DNA damage rates and your free radical levels, which are the two key indicators to let us know how quickly your aging clock is running at a specific point in time. So by getting that genetic deck of cards, which tells us your genetic potential, now that never changes because that's fixed at life, and then taking a look at that little urine test, which lets us know at how quickly your aging clock is running, your speedometer, if you will, of aging,
mm-hmm.
We then get an idea of what's the total impact of your genes and your environment factors at this point in time. And by running that genetic information through a computer, which also looks at that questionnaire that you fill out, that tells us about your lifestyle changes, where you live, whether you smoke, if you're in an inner city or the country. The computer factors in all the things we know along with your genes and gives us a recommendation to give you or make recommendations for what supplements we know will impact your genes in a favorable fashion. And that favorable fashion is something that we call calorie restriction. Make a little more simple this concept. the only way we know, scientifically proven way, to slow the aging process and to slow age-related diseases is through calorie restriction. And as you said earlier, most people will not cut their calories by 30% in order to stay healthier, because human beings are pretty poor at radically changing their eating habits.
Well, beyond that, I think trying to do it might be more stressful than the benefits you would get from it.
Absolutely. Our world is set up where it's very, very difficult. But what we found out is that giving certain nutrients, we can actually change the genes in your cells to react more like they're calorie restricted without having to limit your food that dramatically. Now, that doesn't mean you can follow this program, do your Curacell gene test, and take these supplements and go ahead and eat at McDonald's every night and sit on the couch. It means that if you use a reasonable lifestyle and use this program, we can shift those genes to kind of act much more similar to calorie restriction. And by doing that, on that urine test, what we see in about 85% of the people who've been on this test is a rapid drop in DNA damage. We'll talk about the importance of that in a minute. And also a dramatic drop in free radical levels, which is the main scientifically proven reason that accelerates the aging process and damages your DNA.
So you periodically measure progress by repeated urine tests.
Right, and that you do right from home. And the whole idea here was to also empower the baby boomer generation with the biotechnology to be able to do this on their own and not rely on their physicians who are practicing medicine in a model that treats the diseases and not the underlying causes. And that's another major theme, I think, in the future that we need to change in American medicine, is that rather than treating just the symptoms of a process and not looking at the underlying causes, we have not become healers. Okay, we've become symptomatic treatment physicians, which is really not what it's about.
It's a disease care system, not a health care system.
Well, that you've put it much more eloquently.
You're in the forefront of turning that around.
Exactly. Not only turning that around, the whole idea here with the information in the gene makeover and what Curacell is doing is to empower we, the people, with the ability to monitor how we're aging and our health and to do something about it without having to go to a physician-directed network that is controlled by the insurance companies and it's staffed by physicians who don't think about preventative disease processes but just treating that disease that you have.
While we're on supplements, basically you have some core supplements. You say throw away the one-a-days, that's just not going to do it. So you have the core supplements that virtually everyone needs, and then you have supplements that are based on the profiles that you get from the DNA testing and the urine testing.
Correct.
Is that
now
pretty expensive?
The core supplement program runs $69 a month, and that is much less expensive than the majority of supplements that people take on their own and have no idea what they're doing. I have practiced anti-aging medicine for 15 years, and the most common thing I get when someone comes in for an initial clinical evaluation is their bag of vitamins. They're spending probably $150 to $200 a month self-treating themselves based on articles they've read in either Life Extension magazine or some book. They're not doing any blood tests or urine tests to follow what's happening, and they can't understand why they don't feel better. What they don't comprehend is that there's a tremendous science behind supplementation and nutrition. They're just not aware of that. The fact that you really need certain supplements in the morning as opposed to the evening, or you're not going to sleep and you're not going to be awake in the morning. And those supplements in the morning and in the evening, and those mineral complexes, actually balance our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, which controls our hormonal release patterns. So what they're doing is taking all the wrong things, they're dysregulating and dysfunctionally changing their hormonal release patterns, and frankly, most people don't know if they take too many antioxidants, they can increase their DNA damage and accelerate their aging process.
I think that's shocking to a lot of people, yes. This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio. We're talking with anti-aging physician Dr. Vincent Giampapa, that's spelled G-I-A-M-P-A-P-A, again, G-I-A-M-P-A-P-A. He's author of The Anti-Aging Solution, and more recently, The Gene Makeover. He is one of the founding members of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine and the first president of the American Board of Anti-Aging Medicine, which credentials anti-aging physicians. Dr. Giampapa, you have several websites. Which ones would you like us to know about?
We should definitely mention www.com. thegenemakeover.com, which give people an ability to do an overview of the book and what the book is about. And we should also mention www.suracell.com. That's S-U-R-A-C-E-L-L.com. And for those people who are interested in what I actually do for a select group of patients, we can go to www.thejampapainstitute.com.
And that has the plastic surgery and spa information.
If you want to go to the whole concept of what we do with anti-aging and cosmetic surgery, they can go to www.bestcosmeticmd.com.
Okay. And you're located in Montclair, New Jersey, which is about 15 miles west of New York City?
That's right. We're in New York City's metropolitan area.
I want to talk about beliefs. That's my special area, the mind game of how to age well. And I certainly believe that just everything electrical has a field with it. But I have to be honest with you. When you talked about Dr. William Tiller's experiment with chromosomes, it's a bit of a mental stretch for me. Can you describe that for me?
Dr. William Tiller is one of the pioneers and continually on the forefront of mind-body medicine. The fact that we as human beings generate energy fields around ourselves and around people that we are close to. Now, this was something that was considered more Star Trek-ish than anything else 10 years ago. But today, with the advances in quantum physics, we now know for a fact that these things actually do occur. Let me give you an example of Bill Tiller's classical study, where he wanted to know what were the effects of emotions, really is a concentrated thought form or thought process, a focused thought process that we all go through on a daily basis. We all have intensely happy moments, intensely sad or angry moments. And what Bill looked at was the effects of two primary emotional states in human beings, and that is the emotional state of love or compassion as opposed to the emotional state of fear and anger. We really think that those are the two major aspects of emotions. Each one of those emotions is associated with a specific type of electromagnetic field that we generate as human beings. So what he did was he had one group of people hold a test tube of human DNA in their hands. He actually had them initially focus on love and compassion and think about somebody they truly loved, whether it was a spouse, a parent, and focus that emotion in their hands, love and compassion. What he measured in the DNA was an uncoiling or a loosening of the DNA coils, and he showed that the DNA actually changed configuration. He measured those changes. Now, why is that uncoiling important? The uncoiling is important because as DNA uncoils, genes are exposed and then activated, allowed to be actually become functional. So we've correlated was positive emotions with an ability to turn on your DNA or activate aspects of your genetic material that might have been locked up. Now, he gave them a brief rest period, let them kind of chat for a while, and then had them come back, same people, same DNA, and hold that test tube again and had them think of very negative thoughts. He had them focus on aspects of their life where they're very fearful or angry, and he then measured their DNA again. And what he found was that the DNA coiled very tightly and locked in those genes and did not allow them to become functional. So he found the direct correlation between emotion and the actual three-dimensional physical configuration of DNA. Now, that was in itself a mind-blowing experiment, but he took it one step further. He then had those same group of people in the second part of the study not hold their DNA, but put it in a test tube 15 feet across the room in a little metal rack, and he had them go through the same process again, first staring at their DNA and focusing their compassionate thoughts on that same test tube, and then measured the DNA, and they did the same thing again after a brief rest period. Same test tube, focused their emotions again with fear and anger. And at 15 to 20 feet across the room, he still measured very similar changes in their DNA, as had occurred when they were holding those test tubes. This was probably the first time in scientific literature that we see the effects of emotions not only within our body, and you have to understand that our bodies are 88%, 90% water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That these electromagnetic fields get impregnated into that cell fluid and not only immediately affect our DNA, but then the water itself holds the memory of that emotion and that electromagnetic field. Dr. Omoro has shown that our emotions impact how water itself crystallizes.
So we can infer that even if you're eating all the right foods and you're exercising and you live in an unpolluted environment, if your emotions are very negative, your chromosomes are going to be coiled up and the chemical messengers won't be able to access the genes.
That's exactly right. And so what are we really talking about when we talk about priority levels in our lives? And the key thing here is, despite the fact that we may have a crummy environment and not do things, as far as exercise and diet goes, probably one of the most important overwhelming factors in a lifestyle environment situation is our thought process, our level of stress, how we view ourselves. That is, are we compassionate with ourselves? Are we negatively talking to ourselves? Are we thinking negative thoughts about our own self? Basically, are we creating our own destiny and future by negatively talking to ourselves and negatively impacting our DNA?
Before you go there, how well designed was Dr. Tiller's research?
Dr. Tiller's research was very well designed, and there have been a number of other studies that have gone on not only to verify his findings, but to take them a number of steps further. His study was done 10, 15 years ago, and since then, there have been dozens of other studies that have replicated not only his basic concepts, but taken them further. So he was just the one that introduced the idea that thoughts and emotions interact with our DNA. And again, getting back to what you're saying, is so important. People say to themselves, well, why did this person get cancer and this other person not get cancer? That other guy was in the gym every day, he was exercising. But what we don't know about that person, even though he ate well and exercised, was he surrounding himself with a negative energy field and thinking about himself negatively? Was he sending negative magnetic waves and energy fields to his own DNA, impacting his DNA? So the whole point of the matter is, when we look at creating a healthy lifestyle, I think one of the most important components is where you work, Mike, is the ability to think of ourselves, be compassionate with ourselves, love ourselves, and create that positive energy field that surrounds us throughout the day. And then combine that with the other lifestyle factors of a reasonable diet, a reasonable exercise process, and a reasonable supplement program.
Now, to show how committed you are to this, I doubt if very many of your cosmetic surgery patients know that you periodically go to a retreat, take off your watch, check into a booth for 6 hours, and just clear your mind. Tell us about that and why you think that's so important.
Here's what happened, and frankly, in the 21st century, we're all caught up in material success, having to meet requirements for our jobs, our professions. We lose the ability to be focused in the now. Although Eckhart Tolle has so eloquently expressed this concept in his book, The Power of Now, I am speaking about it just slightly differently, although I agree 100% with his concepts. I'm talking about this process of mind chatter and getting away from the normal environment we are exposed to on a daily basis in our jobs and lifestyle is so important because it allows us to step outside of ourselves and experience, even if it is for 2 or 3 days, how wonderful it feels not to be overloaded with worrying about what we've just done in the moment, what we have to do in the immediate future, jumping back and forth, evaluating ourselves because we're so success-oriented that we miss the peace and will, the bliss of the moment of no thoughts, of just experiencing the moment. And what we found out is that this 21st century mind state of jumping from the past to the future, the past to the future, creates a conditioned response in the body that releases cortisol. Now, cortisol has been dubbed the age-accelerating hormone, and there's been a number of published studies by Dr. Robert Sapolsky from a number of different places he's worked out in California that have shown that elevated cortisol markedly accelerates aging of the brain, the immune system. It rapidly accelerates aging in the skin, is a major cause of wrinkling, and markedly impacts our hormonal levels. So if you look at not only this information, but you realize that in the 21st century, we are basically have no choice but to be competitive in the workplace and or in the professional arenas we work at. We have lost the ability to learn how to turn off that mind chatter, that self-evaluation process, or the need to constantly be productive. We've lost the ability to be one in the moment, to just look around and see the beauty around us or the energy around us. And by losing that ability, what we've done is accelerated our aging process in every level, from hormones to stress to actually impacting our DNA. So that's why it's so important to get away from all of this.
It sells a lot of pharmaceuticals, though, sleeping pills and antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication.
It does, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why these businesses are so successful, is because we as human beings have lost that ability to just be alone with ourselves and quiet with our minds.
Did I understand that the cortisol also contributes to weight gain?
Yes. In one of my other books, in both the Anti-Aging Solution, but in also the other books I have called The Basic Principles and Practice of Anti-Aging Medicine, that is really the only textbook that's available for physicians who practice anti-aging medicine. I have a whole chapter on the effects of cortisol. Now, as our cortisol levels go up due to stress, like we just discussed, or due to a very poor diet with high blood sugar, which is the other reason for accelerated cortisol levels, what we see is a gain in body fat, particularly around our abdomen and in the chest area in both men and women. And as that layer of fat gets bigger and bigger, both on the outside of our abdomen and inside around our intestines, what happens is reproductive hormone levels drop and our poor hormone levels elevate. That is, our cortisol levels go up, our LDL cholesterol goes up, our total cholesterol goes up, our triglycerides go up. We end up with a syndrome called Syndrome X, which medicine in general, 21st century, is now recognized as a precursor to heart disease and a whole host of other disease processes. But what they haven't recognized, that it's really an effect of a poor diet, a poor mind state, and a lack of the ability for people to control their stress levels.
So we have thousands of pop magazines with their pop diets, and if people really want to lose weight, they would do much better with reducing stress levels and getting a good night's sleep.
Well, that's probably one of the most important things they should be doing. And we haven't touched on sleep, but in a very brief comment, sleep is one of the most important things we need to stay well and healthy. Not only does our brain process subliminally information and stressful experience throughout the day, but we need our brain to be in a relaxed state to release growth hormone, which is when our cells undergo cellular repair.
How much do you get into replacing hormones or supplementing hormones as part of your anti-aging regime for people?
I have three or four different levels of anti-aging treatment programs for my patients, and they start out from the basic anti-aging treatment program to the most complex, which includes hormonal balancing, hormonal administration, as well as changing and storing stem cells.
How does storing the stem cells work? It sounds pretty science fiction at this point.
Well, you know, what's interesting is up until 5 or 6 years ago it was, but now there are a number of centers in the United States where you come for about a 3-hour process and you sit and watch a movie of your choice. And during those 3 to 4 hours, you're hooked up to a little machine, kind of like a kidney dialysis machine. It's called a pheresis machine. And what we do is we take out blood and give it back to you. And it comes out, goes through a little machine, which separates stem cells that your body has produced. And then the blood goes back to you without your stem cells, and we store what looks like about 20 tiny little vials of these little white, almost looks like a little white fluffy material, which is really your stem cells that have been released from your bone marrow. And those stem cells are then stored in liquid nitrogen to be used if and when you need them later for a disease process. Let's say your immune system starts to falter, we can completely rebuild your immune system back to what it was when we took those stem cells from you in a healthy state. Or we can give them to you for anti-aging purposes to help with tissue regeneration 10 years down the line when your stem cells have deteriorated and not as functional to keep you in an optimal state of health. So this is something that's been radically new, and probably the most important concept we've learned from this is the ideal time to store these stem cells is when you're in your mid-20s to your late-20s, when they're in their optimal strength, optimal number, and get them stored early, because as you get older into your 50s and 60s and 70s, you can then go back and take those stem cells from when you were 25, which is actually frozen part of you in time when you were in your optimal health. Give those stem cells back to yourself and then experience remarkable improvements in the quality of your health, your liver function, your lung, heart function, and actually rebuild those organs as they're aging.
So this can be used to treat a lot of diseases we might get later in time. Is it also going to rejuvenate skin and the vitality of organs like your heart?
There's already scientific proof that stem cell treatment can markedly improve failing hearts. In fact, a number of patients have avoided heart transplants just with stem cell treatments, where their cardiac output has gone from insufficient to keep them healthy to where it's gotten them to the point where they don't need a transplant and they're actually able to do their normal things again. So yes, the answer to that is yes in specific situations, and particularly with skin rejuvenation and youthful skin and wrinkles, there's been tremendous success in that in the last few years, and that's only going to get better as well.
What else do you see in the future?
The future is extremely, extremely interesting, and I think with the ability now, and this is what I was mentioning earlier about this bridging technology, or the fact that we're in this generation that can really, really expect to live, without a question, and well into your hundreds and perhaps even into 120 or older with the technology that's going to be available to us. Stem cell treatments and storage is probably one of the most important things to be able to do now if you have the resources. But doing your gene tests and looking at things like what Shuracil does and what we talk about in the gene makeover is probably the best thing for the masses. But in the near future, what we're going to be looking at and what's already being done is taking a sample of these stem cells, looking at those genes that are efficient, and then looking at the genes that are not efficient as they relate to your heart health, your cholesterol levels, and your Alzheimer's disease, for instance, and taking a peek at those genes, taking another set of genes, hooking them up to what we call viral vectors or even plasmids, which are segments of genes themselves, placing them into the stem cells in the laboratory, and then multiplying those stem cells and giving them back to you with the new genes that you didn't have that will compensate for what you had that was bad. So basically, genetically and selectively, it rebuilding you or bioenhancing you. And that is something that's already been done. For instance, patients and young people have these acquired immune deficiency diseases,
right,
where they get sick. So people have already been treated with these processes successfully. And although it's in a rudimentary stage, it's rapidly improving.
And some of that's been done as far as 20 years ago, hasn't it?
20 years ago. But we're talking about doing this now in a period over just a few weeks and getting those cells back to you perhaps when you're in your 20s, early 30s, so that the disease processes that then start to build up, cardiovascular disease, brain deterioration, rheumatoid arthritis, you never even get those diseases.
Yeah, so the technology that's been done with just a few conditions can now be broadened to all kinds of health problems.
Exactly, and not just for disease processes now, but for general aging, the general aging processes that occur in all humans.
Oh, I also want to ask you, how expensive is the stem cell storage?
Cell storage right now is relatively expensive, although not astronomical. It runs probably between $4,000 and $5,000 to store your stem cells, to go through the harvesting process and store them, and it probably runs about $500 a year to maintain them in storage. So frankly, for the cost of a cosmetic surgery procedure, you can have your stem cells harvested, stored, and just keep them in optimal shape for years.
One of the areas that I see anti-aging medicine not paying much attention to is kids, and yet that's the time of life where the most change is going on, where the most genes are getting turned on and off. What do you see happening with kids in anti-aging medicine?
Here's the interesting concept and the interesting information that was recently released. The present generation of teenagers in the United States can expect for the first time in history to live a shorter lifespan than their parents. Now, this was one of the most alarming statements I've seen, that children today can expect a less number of years than their parents will because of their terrible habits with fast foods and lack of exercise. This is alarming, alarming. Now, keep in mind that if these same people, these young people in their teenage years, had an opportunity to look at their genes, get that information now, and knew, for instance, that perhaps they need to watch the high glycemic index foods they eat or cut back on their sugar and not drink so much Coca-Cola or other soft drinks, if they implemented those lifestyle changes now, they could markedly improve not only their chances of living longer than their parents, but perhaps being one of the healthiest generations on the planet. But what we've done through our 21st century marketing and television and advertising is convince all these young people they need to play video games instead of getting outside fresh air and exercise, and they need to be eating at McDonald's three times a week instead of with their families at home eating decent meals.
So our biggest failing with the kids has been nutrition and exercise.
Nutrition and exercise and the whole thing about motivating them to be successful. Again, the stress component that you deal so well with.
Mm-hmm. Do you see kids as usually needing supplements?
Vast majority of children, because they don't eat fresh foods and their parents are too busy working two jobs, without a question, need supplementation.
Are those different than the supplements that adults would get?
For instance, the SureCell Core Nutrition is something that could be used by children in high school. And frankly, I've had a number of the parents as patients who have given their children their supplements and noticed that their mental focus is better, their energy is better, and their sugar cravings are much less because they're not gorging themselves with this high glycemic index foods that they eat and having low blood sugars and wanting to sit down and not be energetic. So the answer to that is yes. From about 17 years to 18 years onward, the same supplements that an adult needs can be applied directly to teenagers.
We've been talking with anti-aging physician Dr. Vincent Jampopop, author of The Anti-Aging Solution and more recently The Gene Makeover. His website for his new book, The Gene Makeover, is thegenemakeover.com. The website for supplements is Suracell, Suracell.com. For his plastic surgery services, bestcosmeticmd.com. And for the latest anti-aging thinking, thegiampapainstitute.com. That's thegiampapainstitute.com. If you missed those, I'll put all the websites on my website, agelesslifestyles.com. I'm just so impressed with what you're doing. It's just an exciting time to be alive, and I really appreciate you sharing what's happening in anti-aging medicine with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and there's just so much more to talk about and so much more information that everybody really should have at their fingertips to incorporate not just what I'm talking about, but particularly what you're talking about in the balance of the psychological aspects of optimal aging.
Well, let's do it.
Sounds good.
And maybe we can do another interview, and you can update us on what's new sometime in the future.
That'd be my pleasure.
Well, time for commentary. What can we make of what Dr. Vincent Jampopop shared with us? I think he is a remarkable Renaissance man. He's interested in art and science and the psychological and mind-body-spirit. He paints the most holistic view of anti-aging medicine that I've ever seen. He has the most holistic presentation of anti-aging medicine that I've ever encountered. And it's certainly enjoyable to work with optimistic people who are excited about the future. And I was just so excited about the renaissance that he described in anti-aging medicine. It's a young field, maybe 15, 20 years old, and already we're getting a paradigm shift from the external, from surgery and exercise and nutrition and hormone therapies, to also including what goes on inside, both psychologically and also with the genes. And what a profound paradigm shift that now a layperson can swab their cheek, send the swab through the mail, and get a report back profiling some of their most important genes and the implications of that for what would help them have better health and better longevity. And if that weren't enough, we can even do periodic testing to see what our progress is. Currently, you can literally spend hundreds of dollars, and indeed, Dr. Jampopop told me that he has some data that one of the most popular vitamin stores, average client is spending $200 to $250 on supplements that are often now, rather than just taking some supplements and hoping that they're working, we have ways that we can do before and after tests to see if we're getting the results. And it's fascinating that this process is bypassing the primary care doctor, not of any disrespect, but because the disease care system that we have in our country only pays them for treating disease instead of doing preventive things, much less anti-aging. Consequently, they're not going to the seminars on anti-aging medicine. They're not learning the techniques because they're not compensated for using it in their practices. And it's a shame because if primary care docs were paid for doing anti-aging medicine, I think it would far more than pay for itself in preventing very expensive diseases, not to mention improving the quality of our lives. We covered so many topics today, I thought it would be helpful to recap some of what we talked about just to refresh your memory and help you remember it. We talked about the fascinating case study with the twins, one from Idaho, one from New York City, and how the one in New York City who had lived a much more stressful lifestyle and was not, if you will, as evolved as a person, showed it with looking 20 years older than his identical twin. If you're tempted to think that your DNA dictates your destiny, this is a powerful example of how it ain't necessarily so. We talked about Dr. Tiller's experiments in which people focusing on positive emotions cause the DNA to uncurl and people focusing on negative emotions caused it to curl up, which made it inaccessible to molecular messengers. One of the implications of that is even if you exercise a lot, if you eat well, if your psychological life is a mess, if you're terribly stressed out, it's going to impact your genes, it's going to impact your cortisol, and cause aging despite your best efforts at exercise and nutrition. Were you as fascinated as I was to hear a surgeon talk about being compassionate with yourself, about how important it is to get rid of the mental chatter? Indeed, this seemed to be at the top of his list, followed by not a perfect diet, but a reasonable diet, and not extreme exercise, but a reasonable amount of exercise. When we talked about supplements, Dr. Jim Popup talked about how important it is to have balance, how important it is to take the supplements at the right time of day, and how a person can actually have too many antioxidants and how that can be harmful to your health. And we talked about stem cells. Severe combined immune deficiency, SCID, is a condition in which a person is lacking certain genes that are necessary for immune functioning. About 20 years ago, anti-aging physicians inserted missing genes into children that had SCID and literally cured them. The technology is gradually being applied to other diseases as well. In the next 10 years, we may well see this technology applied to a wide variety of conditions, not just treating diseases, but also preventing aging and preventing health problems. Dr. Vincent Jampapa talked about stem cell storage. Some of you are probably thinking, I passed my 20s a long time ago. It's a little late for the optimal harvesting of my stem cells, although maybe better late than never. Obviously, that's a technology that, for the most part, only more affluent people are going to take advantage of. However, with most new technologies, the price comes down and becomes more available to the general population. Finally, we talked about children and how this may be the first generation of children to have a shorter lifespan than their parents. Clearly, poor nutrition and lack of exercise is going to shorten the lifespan of our current American teenagers and young adults. And our culture needs to put a lot of emphasis on addressing these issues. I'm reminded of President John Kennedy and how he challenged Americans to become more physically fit. Personally, however, I think the scientific advances are going to enable this generation to live longer than their parents, despite poor nutrition and despite lack of exercise. But if they do get on board with better nutrition and better exercise, then they'll be able to live much, much, much longer. I'd like to leave listeners with a baby step to help you live longer, healthier, and happier. I think there's some common threads between what Dr. May said last week about weight loss and what Dr. Jampapa said today about stress. Dr. May talked about how people go on a diet, stray from the diet, and then beat themselves up with self-talk and go off the diet, and it becomes a yo-yo with the self-talk being self-defeating and causing an enormous amount of stress and certainly not helping with weight loss. Dr. Jan Popup talked about how stressful the chatter or self-talk can be and how that raises cortisol levels, which in turn contributes to weight gain and more rapid aging. I think that the common thread here is that if you need to lose weight, and probably at least half of Americans do, the solution is to forget about going on a diet, but instead focus on being compassionate with yourself, turning down the chatter, getting more in touch with your feelings and being in the moment, or to use Dr. May's phrase, asking yourself, am I hungry? What do I need? What do I want? What do I have? And getting enough exercise and enough sleep. In the long run, that's far more likely to result in weight loss than going on any diet. Emails. I love getting those emails. We had two types of emails this week. One was how people appreciated Dr. May's very compassionate approach to weight loss. The other was from people who were responding to the show with Dr. Russo 2 weeks ago on raw foods. And those emails talked about how much raw foods had helped them. For example, Elsie Chevelle talked about how she'd become sick and tired of thyroid problems and tried raw food. She says, quote, I had my blood work done, and 2.5 weeks later, my doctor was so impressed that he wasn't sure if I was the right patient. He was very curious, since for the first time in 1.5 years, despite my being on medication, my thyroid test was normal. My doctor and endocrinologist tells me to keep doing what I'm doing. And then she goes on that 1 year later, she's still doing very well with the raw foods, is even more enthusiastic, and people, quote, often comment on my skin and how I look like I'm glowing. So clearly, there are a lot of case histories of a raw food diet helping people overcome serious health problems, and people have data to document the change. Case histories don't mean that it works for everyone, but especially for people who have seemingly intractable health problems, it certainly seems worth trying. I'd love to hear from you. Send the emails to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. If you'd like to get practical advice on how to win the mental game of defying aging, subscribe to the Defy Aging newsletter. It's free. All you have to do is go to drbricke.com, that's drbricke.com, or agelesslifestyles.com. I'd love to have you as a subscriber. This is your anti-aging psychologist, Dr. Michael Bricke, with Ageless Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net. Thank you for joining us on our quest to live longer, healthier, and happier.